language is also digital. You know, you add things and pieces like that. It involves a recursive procedure, you know, a procedure that forms more and more of these digital objects. It's extremely hard to find things like that in the natural world, outside of the inorganic world. There you find things like that. But in the biological world, what you usually find is a big mess, you know, with continuous relations. And, you know, I mean, you know, nature is well known. You know, the standard remark of the evolutionary biologists is from François Jacob is that nature is a tinkerer. I don't know if anybody can translate that in some reasonable way, but nature is somebody who, you know, tries to put things together out of whatever pieces are around, okay, in a kind of an ad hoc fashion. And organisms are usually extremely maladapted to their environments. Well, I learned about that personally a couple of years ago when I had a really severe back problem that put me in the hospital for a couple of years. And, you know, so I got interested in spines and started looking at it and talked to the neurosurgeons and so on. And the people who study these things say that the spine is so badly engineered that it's a miracle if you get through life without a problem about it. And in fact, they're so badly engineered that the surgeons, at least in Boston, by now don't really even try to repair them. They find that if you take out a disc and you let the blood clot form, it probably does about as good as the original disc. They also say that for every organism above the level of a shark, you know, that's pretty far back, they have back problems. I always thought it was because they stand up straight that we have them, but it's probably because we can talk about it that we have them. Well, okay, there's a case where nature just made a bad engineering mistake. Way back, you know, at the time of the sharks. And since then, it's been propagating this mistake. And most things about organisms are like that. They're just patched together, you know. Things are patched together out of this and that and the other thing and, you know, and so on. sometimes things work, sometimes they don't. Say, take an insect wing. The wing of an insect looks as if its function is to get the insect to fly, and that's what people always thought. But it now turns out that the insect wing is a thermoregulator. An insect has a lot of internal heat, and it's got to get rid of it. And a flat surface sticking out is able to dissipate heat. So apparently, wings, at least for insects, evolved as a way of dissipating heat from the body. And then, you know, it turned out by accident that because of features of the air, you could use it to fly too, you know. Well, you know, that's the way things happen in evolution, and you usually end up with just a messy thing, you know. I mean, that's why when you study biology, you have to learn a ton of facts. When you study physics, you don't have to learn many facts. It's mostly principles, you know. You learn principles, you can sort of work out the facts. You want to study biology, you've got to know all kind of facts, endless numbers and so on, because the biological world is just very messy. Well, language, oddly, has some of the properties of the inorganic world, or it seems to. Maybe we're wrong, but seems to, which is kind of surprising, you know. But it seems to be the case. If there's time tomorrow, I'll talk a little about this. I mean, it seems to be part of the great interest in the study of language is it seems to pose biological paradoxes. It's hard to imagine how a biological system could have developed with these properties. And in fact, it's striking that none of our close relatives have anything like them. I mean, humans and, say, higher apes share an enormous amount of genetic material. But there isn't a trace of these systems in higher apes. Yeah, how do I know those things? Nobody knows. I don't know. Was I right? Did I guess right? Yeah, okay. You can just tell when somebody talks your own language, even with a very different dialect, that he's just doing it in such a way that sounds like a native speaker. I don't know how you do it, you know. You can usually guess pretty well. I mean, I'm pretty certain that there's no dialect of English that's like yours. But there could well be a dialect of English that's like his. I'm sure he made the same judgment about me. I don't know how you do it. Yeah, I'll say more about that tomorrow. Yeah. Actually, I'm afraid I gotta go. I'll have to, can we save the questions for tomorrow? I've gotta take off.